You can call us. You should do it. I'll give you advice. That's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you advice.
Ooh, baby.
That's what we're changing this thing into. You give us a call. You leave a voicemail. You're like, hey, Clint, I'm struggling in my life. So a lot of things are going wrong for me. I'm not doing well. I'm trying to get on a date, but no one will date me. And you need advice from a real expert
on
these things.
Talking about my voicemail. I hate that.
No one's dating me currently. No one's willing to date me in the future. All these various things, okay? You can call me and I'll give you advice. Just explain your situation, whether it's real or not. I'm happy to give you advice.
Yeah, okay.
Basically, what we're doing is we're turning the voicemail system into the Dear Clint segment.
Yeah, big announcement.
We have too many damn things going on. We're consolidating everything into one thing, okay? Everything is now one. What once was many, now is one.
What once was many out here, now is one together here.
So you can call us. Call me. We have to update the voicemail.
Don't say me. I can be a part of this. Just because it has your name on it doesn't mean I can't give a little bit of advice.
Dear Clint featuring Chris
Don't try
Wall.
To push me. Thank you. Finally.
You'll be involved.
It's like the Clint Betts band
it's not like
featuring
we're
Chris
Rock. Mute your mic. We're not going to mute your mic.
Dear Clint, things aren't going well. I'm not doing so good. It's me on the voicemail. And then I'm like, just a quick couple things to add before anybody gives advice.
You can call us. Leave the voicemail at 385-344-8011. That's 385-344-8011. It's Dear Clint. Give me a Dear Clint. 385-344-8011. And now, let's podcast. You are looking alive on a Tuesday. Boys at Tuesday Boy, are you alive? My name is Clint Betts.
My name is Chris Rawl.
A lot of things happening in the world, Chris. How are you?
I'm
that's
pretty
the
good.
Most important thing
Here's
that's
what
happened.
I've determined. Our new intro song, I'm like more mellow when we come in. Mm-hmm. Before, it's like I'm like
too
ready.
Hot.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't say too hot. It's just a different emotional vibe. So I'm like angry before. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just chill. I'm like, I'm tapping out the keys over here and I go, oh, okay. Yeah. Tell me about what's going on in the world. How are you? How are you today?
The old intro music made me want to rage.
It yeah. Really I did. Like that. I rode.
Like, I usually took like a Molly. When I heard it, I was like, all right, it's Molly time.
When I heard that song, I rode the lightning. This new one, it's like, it's mellow. You know, it's chilling out.
By the way, look at Weston's cool shirt.
It's a
I
cup
was
of tea.
At it. This little Cheech and Chong shirt. It's pretty interesting, Weston. Good for you.
Yeah, Weston wears a
Congrats.
TJ Maxx, $6, man.
Congrats.
He's out here hawking TJ Maxx wares.
They're not a sponsor, dude.
They're not a sponsor. Take that back. Cut that out. Cut that out.
All right, a lot of different things going on in the world. As you know, this is Today in the Beehive. This is Today in the Beehive. That's what we're doing.
Yep.
That's what this segment is.
Yep.
The big news out of the KSL is the Utah Highway Patrol is preparing for protests planned at state capitol, anticipates they will be peaceful.
More protests. That's
the day of Joe Biden's inauguration. There are expectations that there will be protests across the country.
I thought we got that out of our system.
Pro-Trump protests. And a lot of them, there's like one that's talking about like everybody bring their guns. But like a peaceful, you know how like when you see...
Wait, there's only one of them that's saying that? I would assume all of these are
all
saying that.
All of them are saying that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They're like, you can bring your guns to this protest and just show off your guns, show off your various guns. Like, can I just tell people like...
So is that a gun show or what? I know
people look to me for leadership, so I'm gonna say it. Easy.
My first Dear Clint voicemail. I'm calling in. Hey, Chris Rawl here. I got a robocall the other day and it said, hey, Chris... You seem like a swell fellow. You know what you should do? You should get all your guns and go to the state capitol on the day of Joe Biden's inauguration and hang out. What do you think I should do, Clint?
Don't
What's
do
the
it.
Advice you would offer to me
Don't
at that point?
Do it. Really, we need to calm down. Everybody just calm down.
I'm calm as hell. I just told you at the start of the episode.
Everybody just
This
calm
new music's
down.
Mellowed me out, dude.
Don't do anything stupid. In particular, Utah, where we do have a bit of a voice, a bit of a following.
No, I don't agree with that. Just don't do anything stupid anywhere.
Yeah, don't do anything
The idea
stupid
that we shouldn't
anywhere.
Do anything stupid in Utah, but it's fine doing it elsewhere, that's bizarre.
But in particular, don't do anything stupid.
Everywhere.
Utah.
No, everywhere. Stop. I don't agree with that.
All right.
We're looking out for everybody everywhere, okay?
So
we're all in this
don't
together.
Do this. I don't know why you do this. Don't do this.
If you want to come and show off your guns, just come and hang out at Clint's house.
Peaceful protest, sure. But it might
not even a protest, just a hangout. Just like,
yeah, if you want to hang out,
talk. I know.
If you
want to
hang out, you can come hang out with us.
We could become friends.
If you've
with
got
a lot
frustrations,
of...
you can take them out on us.
We'll bring everybody together. Bring your guns, okay? We'll sit there. We'll go, hey, listen to this song we got. We'll play the angry song. Everybody will get angry. They'll get the guns, and they're ready. And then we go, now let's think about Let's think through this. Let's think. Now listen to this song. Then we play the new song, the piano intro. Utah, working together. Work, Utah.
What a great place to be.
Utah.
It's the land that I love.
You can be rude elsewhere, but not in Utah.
We have a voicemail regarding our new song.
We have a voicemail regarding our new song.
Well, let's play this. That's a good time.
Okay, let's put it in here.
Put it in here, producer. With his cool new TJ Maxx shirts, he comes in.
This is exciting.
Ooh, we have a voicemail. Why didn't you tell us before the show?
Yeah, I'm glad we were prepped on this beforehand. Well-oiled machine here.
I told you yesterday for the record. Here we go.
Oh, hey, guys. Brian up in Cache Valley. Ever heard of me? I know you have because I call all the time. You probably wish I'd stop. But I just have some constructive feedback. I know I'm just a guy up here. You don't know. But I just want to help. Let me order some food real quick. Could I get
this is sweet.
Jalapeno burger, the one that's $2.99?
This is crazy.
Yeah, Coke Zero.
Coke Z? That's my favorite.
Yeah, could you lettuce wrap that?
Lettuce wrap!
Okay. Number one.
What a freak!
The little piano opening. It's cute. It's great. I'm guessing Clint's mom made it or something.
It's a good guy.
It's great. It's beautiful, but it's just not the same as the old Wyvo jingle. I would get so amped when the Wyvo jingle came on. I get so excited, and it was the perfect thing right before Clint would say, "You are looking alive." Now the piano thing comes on, and I get ED. Mm-hmm. A guy who is otherwise erect at all times gets ED. It's bad. We got to go back to the old one. I beg. Okay? Hello.
This is crazy.
I apologize profusely. The drive-thru is not the place.
This is crazy. Where is he, Carl's Jr.?
Can we dial it back just a little bit on the political talk? I just get so bored. Maybe I'm alone on this, but I think Chris gets bored. He starts getting depressed. My ED that's already been triggered gets even worse. Terrible. You guys are just so talented. You have so many other important things to share. I just love it if we could talk about, you know, some other things. Unless there's like a wiener involved, I don't really care to hear about the politics. But I love the pod regardless. I'm probably still going to listen. But I just want to help you guys, like I said. I love it. I hope this helps. And okay, bye.
Okay,
that's a lot.
Ton to take in.
Wow.
I should have been taking notes. I hadn't heard this before. That's very interesting. He's echoing my actual feelings.
Yeah.
I'm with him. I think we go back to the old song.
I think he's speaking for 50% of the pod. On my side, everything he said is so offensive. I want to go politics only. I want mellow music.
I like
patriotic
this.
Utah
Finally,
music.
Finally, we get a hash out on the show what we try to hash out behind closed doors. Let's start. I don't know where to start.
We're not talking about politics. We're talking about the news.
No,
news.
No. We're talking about politics. That's what we're going to discuss right now.
Let's do it.
Politics.
Mm-hmm.
They're the dumbest shit.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stress this enough. Everybody agrees everywhere. Mm-hmm. And yet everybody's like, oh, I wonder what's going on in politics. It doesn't matter. I can't stress this enough.
Mm-hmm.
So every time we come on the show and you're like, Chris, we're going to talk about the news. Oh, but politics, these are the news. No, just punt it. Just kick it. Boot it out into outer space. Choose the next story. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what the political story is. It needs to go. It needs to get thrown out the door. Toss it right out the door.
See ya.
A bouncer grabs the story and it throws it out. That could be Weston. And he goes, you know what? You know what we really don't want to talk about today? What Ted Cruz was angry about and tweeted at his fellow senator because on the Senate floor, you won't believe what happened. Oh, and let me tell you about the amendments to this bill that they tried to slide through.
I love a good amendment conversation.
It was supposed to be about a coronavirus relief, but you won't believe what got snuck in the night. And oh, here we are. No, but we don't have any takes. You don't have any takes. You like politics and you don't have any takes.
I don't have takes. I just report the straight
news. It needs to go. It all needs to go.
I just report the straight news.
This voicemail triggered something deep within.
Mm-hmm.
I hate politics so bad.
Yeah, but how do you feel about jalapeno burgers?
Okay. All right, I got that off my chest. Number two.
I love that he got a Coke Zero.
Brian needs to take a look at himself real fast.
Brian got what I would eat.
I accept all the constructive criticism. Okay, this is why I'm saying. Brian, we saw him. Actually, we were like there for this mm-hmm. order. Okay, I don't know where the hell he is. He needs to leave. Mm-hmm. Wherever that was, don't ever go back. Okay? Mm-hmm. His order so closely mirrored what I see you eat on a day-to-day basis. Coke Zeros and the double jalapeno burgers.
Double jalapeno?
And then you're like, you know what? I'm trying to tamper things down. Let's wrap that in lettuce. Then you get home and you're like, no, I shouldn't have gotten this lettuce. And you just go find some bread to put it on. I know the trick. He's acting like he ate a lettuce-wrapped burger. He went home and put it between two pieces of bread that he already purchased from the store. The Coke Zero is not good for you. Just because it's zero calories
Listen,
doesn't mean it's
zero
good.
Zero cal Coke.
You need to stop eating all these things. I'm not opposed to a voicemail in a drive-thru. And in fact, I would encourage a lot of people, when you got downtime in a drive-thru, leave us a voicemail. That's a very good use. So I will give Brian huge props for that.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
Don't order these types of things.
Yeah.
You gotta look out for yourself. Mm-hmm. Unless you want to turn into Clint Betts.
Yeah.
It could be a year from now, and Brian's going to be sitting up there in Cache Valley. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be just sitting there. ED out the wazoo going, oh, man, did you guys see the latest, what the Democratic Party did? Oh, boy, you won't believe. And his whole family's going to sit there and go, we hate you. We hate you so bad. All you do is talk about politics, and all you do is eat these huge burgers.
Yeah.
You need to stop all of this behavior.
Yeah, Brian, get your shit together.
Number three.
Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, Brian, get your shit together. Yes, that's exactly what we're saying.
Freaking Brian.
Number three. I agree with the music take. Maybe
you want to go back to the old music.
I didn't realize it until today, and I hadn't even heard that voicemail until it was on air. So I brought that up unprompted at the start of the show. I have a different feeling when the old song used to come in. It was invigorating, you know? And for two people who are not the most
invigorated
people, we need that extra boost. It's like a little jump start, okay? You know, you need the flint to make the fire, you know? And so when that music comes on, okay, here we go. All right. And then I work myself up. I go, you got to bring it for the next little while. And then there's a big jalapeno burger waiting at the end for you, buddy, if you come through. And now it's too mellow.
Too mellow.
It takes me a while to get worked up. I have to hear a voicemail or something. Not to mention, we've talked so much politics lately. Mm-hmm. That drags me down even further. So the first 20 minutes, I'm already down emotionally. And then I hear, oh, Chris, you won't believe what's going on up at the Utah State Capitol. And I go, yes, I will. Yes, I will. And you go, no, you won't. And I go, okay, just tell me what it is. And 30 minutes later, I come out of a haze. And you're like, what's the why, though? And I go, I don't know. We
Utah
should end the
getting bigger and better.
We're too much about like people treating each other nicely
what
now.
A great place to be.
When did we make a shift to where we're always telling people like you got to be better
be
to one another?
Nice
people
to each
know
other.
They need to be better to one another. We don't need
Listen,
to say anything about it.
I genuinely believe that the majority of Americans look to this show to know how to feel. And know how to treat
the majority
others.
Of Americans come to this show to see two human adults piss their pants on air and then go, oh, no, and talk about how things haven't treated them nicely. The rest of the shows on planet Earth, that's where you go and everybody goes, we need to be better to one another, you guys. Everybody knows you need to be better. Nobody needs to be reminded. I don't get where that's come from. Okay. Again, there's a lot of rude stuff happening. I'm not saying that at all.
Listen, everybody just take a breath.
Is there anybody who's sitting at their house and then they hear somebody go, you know what we need?
Me.
Society needs
they
to be nicer.
Say.
Some shithead like you going, you know what we need? We need to be better to one another. And they're sitting in their house eating their jalapeno burger going, you know what I never thought of? I need to be better to the people around me. What are we talking about? That saying needs to go away. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. Mm-hmm.
All right, here's what I'm willing to do.
Okay. We need to find a middle ground.
And this is for Brian, not for you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
I want to make that clear. This isn't because of your impassioned speech.
Yeah.
I didn't need to hear that.
That's political. That's just political.
That was way too political.
That's a stump speech.
We will go back to the old intro music.
Yes.
We'll give it a shot. We'll try to incorporate the Utah music in some other form.
Actually, maybe we bring that at the end when we're like,
yeah, maybe we do it on the outro.
We'll calm down. And we can't send our listeners out into the world amped out of their minds. So at the end of the show, when they're like, ready to run through a wall and we play the old theme, they'd go out and they'd commit crimes. They were. That's why you felt the obligation to be like, we need to be better. Like, we're like telling those people to do that freaky stuff. And so now it's a nice rise and fall. It's like doing a nice drug.
Yeah.
We get at the start, you get the high. Woo! 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. Woo! Then at the end, okay, nice gentle calm down. Mm-hmm. Oh, go take a nap. Go take
All right.
nap.
We'll end with the Utah song.
Okay.
Because it's a beautiful song.
Wait, well, and because your mom made it.
And my mom. Thank you. Thank you, Mom.
Yeah, thanks, Mom.
I mean, Brian's really kind of bashing on my mom, but thank you, Brian.
Okay, the last thing I want from you in regards to this, you, Clint, not Brian.
I don't know. Give it to me. I can't commit.
I need a commitment about these politics. I need a commitment about me talking about them. I can't formulate anything. It makes my brain hurt. I don't have erectile dysfunction.
I do.
I know, you do.
What am I supposed to do? A guy who has ED, tons of time on his hands. Tons of time. So I go through the sports. I go through the various things. I play video games. I do all the different things throughout the day. I still have tons of time left over with this ED.
I love the idea that the only things to do in a day, I go through the sports section of the newspaper and I play video games. I have everything done in the day.
So ED is ravaging my body.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Okay. And in order to, like, I have to pass the time somehow. So I'll pull up the New York Times opinion section. Sue me, dude. Sue me. I'll go to realclearpolitics.com and read all the op-eds from across the country. Sue me, dude. I'll go to CNN.com and see the latest celebrity news. Sue me, dude.
So I understand how you're getting all this information, and I don't fault you for it. You Thank have you. More time on your hands than I.
ED is ravaging my body.
And you also are like, I need to make up for the non-functioning areas of my body, and I'm going to expand my brain. I commend that. I applaud
Sometimes,
it.
Sometimes, like, multiple limbs go limp. Here's... Like, my right arm is limp right now. Like, it's not just like what you think. Like, ED is ravaging my entire body.
I love you're trying to play video games in your right arm. Oh, just slaps down on the couch. Oh, no.
ED strikes again.
Another one bites the dust.
Let's read that op-ed.
Chris, can you carry me my desk? I want to look at politics. Come here. I come in and swoop. I pick you up. I swoop you up. So I don't fault you for any of that, though.
Thank
I really
you.
Don't.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Where
Thank
I
you.
Fault you.
Thank you for standing up for me.
You, a person who has ED brain, which means you have tons of information and you're always searching for more. You should do that. Where you need to not cross the line is you need to understand a lot of this information that makes sense in an erectile dysfunction-laden brain doesn't make sense
doesn't translate.
To a non-ED brain. So me, I'm sitting there and I go, I got limited time and limited information to come in here because I'm always thinking about sex. I got porn out the wazoo and I'm just going, oh, man, if I could just find one real-life human being, it'd be great, okay? So there's a very small portion of my brain. I don't play video games. I don't go through the sports section. I got to come to you for news, okay? Yeah. There's a very small portion of my brain that's open to discussion about current events, again, that I know nothing about. So when you choose the most boring ED-laden events to go, oh, Chris, let me tell you about Mike Lee. And I go, and most of my brain normally is thinking about, like, man, that pornographic video I watched was badass. And then right off of that, it's like a huge come down. I go, oh, wait, what? Mike Lee? Oh, how did he invade my thoughts?
Yeah, but does your arm ever go limp?
No, my arms, they're young and vibrant. Look at them. You can see both my arms moving right now.
There are times where ED is so bad for me that I'll be walking and my legs will just give out and I'll fall down. I'm not kidding. It'll just give out. I'm like this.
I know. This I carry you to your desk.
Get me the latest Ted Cruz news. I need to stand up.
Chris, can you bring me The Economist? I go, yeah, sure. Just what's the point? As long as I don't have to discuss it with you. That's my only request. There's too much discussion about it, you know? Yeah. I don't come and discuss the things that I know would just make you into an ED zombie, yeah. You know? If I came out here and I was talking about all the weird stuff that I think about on a day-to-day, like imagine if every single day I came on the show and go, Chris, what's the big news? And I go, okay, Pornhub is baller. There's a video on there. And I go into great detail. Like I'm describing a 15-minute pornographic film. Whoa. And I'm telling you about everything. I go, there's this pizza dude. And he's like, I used to be a pizza guy. He doesn't look like me. Okay. And then there's this nice lady who apparently she's got like a husband, a bunch of kids, but then she's home alone. Like there's all this stuff going on. Imagine if every single day I did this over and over.
I'm so intrigued by everything. Keep going. What happened?
You can watch this on the internet. That's the point. I don't need to tell you about it.
What would be the point? That would fall on deaf ears.
What if a new segment of the Why Though podcast, in place of the old political discussion where Mike Lee, he's made me so angry. What are we going to do? We got to be better. The new discussion is, Chris, tell me about the latest pornographic film you watch. Just dissect it for me. Like a highbrow film critic.
Okay, I could see
You know,
that.
Like how people will get together and they go, oh, I watched the latest Daniel Day-Lewis film and here's all the takeaways. What if I just came and I said, there's a pizza film everybody's got to watch. Let me tell you about it, okay? And then I break it down, dude, X's and O's.
Do they eat the pizza?
Oh, yeah, big time. Ooh. That's how it starts. And you think it's an innocent film. This is how the director gets you in. They really in. Because any person can sit down and watch two people eat pizza and enjoy it. They go, wow, this is a character building exercise.
I don't like to see people eat pizza. I really don't. That would turn me off. I'd be like, I'm out. That's like I chews too loud.
That's because you have such a hatred of your own eating habits where you're like, no, that just reminds me when I order those big burgers and lettuce.
Reminds me that I can't stop at 4 slices. I need 8 slices. I have some big news for you, political news.
Okay.
After all that, we're going to go
deep. I gave a 50-minute speech about how it's got to go.
Now we're going to get political. So the top story on the DeseretNews.com is this. The surprising truth about which men do the most chores.
Okay, this is good.
You ready
for
this?
This is the good news. See, this is not political. This is about common sense. This is about how people live. That's the stuff we're interested in on this podcast. Do I want to know what types of dudes do chores? Hell yeah, I do.
Yeah, of course you do.
Hell yeah. Wait, what did you say this was on? Deseret News?
This is Deseret News.
All right, yes. Tell me more.
Deseret.com. A study by University of Utah researchers debunks stereotype of what type of men do the most domestic chores.
What's the stereotype?
Now, wait. Wait a second. Hang on. I don't want to get political here because we just had a big discussion.
This reminds me of a pizza film I once watched.
But who do you think does, according to this Deseret News top story, who do you think does the most chores?
Like teenage boys?
Okay. Dead wrong.
We're talking about just males, right?
Freaking idiot.
Are we talking about just males?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I would guess teenage boys because their parents force them to. They say, grow up. You got to mow the lawn. You're 16. You're not doing shit for this household.
Stop watching these pizza videos.
Why is Chris keep giving you these pizza videos?
So here's what's going on.
What if you find your oldest son watching a pizza video and you freak out? Then you realize it's the Food Network. And you're like,
That would bother me far more than porn.
I don't disagree.
If he's watching some pizza network, how to make a pizza.
Just some obese, like, oh, what's going on?
Oh, that would bug the shit out of me. That actually would bug. I'm going to stop it. Stop it. Go in your room and look at porn for 20 minutes.
Yep.
That's your punishment.
Here's some links.
Here's some links. Here's what Chris is getting into. I'm limp. Like, half my body's limp right now.
You just fall down. Oh, no. Parker, carry me to bed!
You mind giving me the latest New Yorker while I'm down here?
He has to step over you to get to his room.
All right! The findings surprised the researchers. Okay?
Yeah.
Religious men tackle household tasks like cooking and grocery shopping at even higher rates than non-religious progressive men.
Okay, this is the good shit. This is the good shit. This is what I come to the Deseret News for. This is so much better than all politics. This is what we should talk about every day. The Deseret News has such a strange infatuation with proving that married people are significantly better than anybody who's not married. It's such a baller idea. First of all, let's say you're a researcher at the University of Utah and you go, do you know what's weighing on my mind? Mm-hmm. I don't understand who does the most chores of just like normal males, you know, I wonder who does the chores.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they get this research unit together somehow and they go, all right, here, everybody, here's a mop and a bucket. You guys go out and do the chores. And they sit there and then they go, ooh. That guy, he's mopping a bunch. Oh, no, that guy, he's taking a break. He's just sitting on the couch. He's not doing anything. They go over. They go, sir, you know, the nice working guy, what's your deal? Well, you know, I'm a religious married man. they go, wow, there must be a strong correlation there. They go over to the schlub-a-dub on the couch, and they go, what's going on
here?
Poor
schlubby.
And he goes, look, I'm having a crisis of faith. I don't believe in anything, and I'm not married. And they go, our minds are blown. This is crazy. This confirms everything we already know. Like, the Deseret News already knows married people are very good people. Mm-hmm. And they know single people are shit. They are the dregs of society. What's crazy is they can't just leave it at that. Right? Mm-hmm. It seems like you could just leave it there.
No, they got to study it. They got to get to the bottom
of it. Well, it's not even that they have to study it. It's that they have to, like, take it out to these tiny little details where it's like, no, 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 I know that you're single and you don't believe in, like, an organized religion. You're shit at doing your chores.
If you're single...
Like, why do they got to keep pissing on me?
The big thing is, like, you in particular, because you're single, you are a piece of shit.
I know, but why am I not good at doing chores? I honestly thought I was good at doing them.
So I'm terrible at chores, and I fit all of the profiles of the people who are good at it.
Yeah.
I'm, like, the worst at it. Religious men tackle household tasks like cooking and grocery shopping at even higher rates than non-religious progressive men. I'm super religious, you know that.
Yes.
And I
don't. You're progressive.
I'm not progressive.
Oh, wait. Yeah, sorry. Okay.
Okay, easy.
You're regressive.
I'm a religious
You're
man.
Regressive.
I'm a regressive.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
In both religious men and non-religious progressive men do more cooking and cleaning than the men who fall in between them on the faith scale. So the agnostics are the worst. The people are like, I don't care.
God may exist and he may not. We don't know.
I'd go to church, like, but it's a little too long.
Like, okay, could you make some macaroni and cheese? Oh, no, 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 no. So wait, why are these religious males doing so many chores? I don't get it.
Like, well, that's according to a study by University of Utah researchers Claudia Geist, an associate professor of sociology, and doctoral candidate Bethany Gohl, that was recently published in the International Journal Social Compass.
The International Journal Social Compass. Mm-hmm. That's a good name, Social Compass.
And among those not surprised are a rabbi of Baltimore. I'm not going to say his name. I don't know how to say it.
I love that they're like, who's not surprised by this? Some rabbi in Baltimore? I.
A rabbi in Baltimore is not surprised. This guy named Rich, who directs the Gospel Rescue Mission in Muskogee, Oklahoma. Guarantee I say that wrong. They were men of faith who say they do a lot of housework.
Oh, my God.
Just patting themselves on the back. So, yeah, I'm not surprised by this.
I want to say this right now.
I can't handle that. Like, I do a lot of housework. That doesn't surprise me one bit.
I'm a rabbi, and yes, I do agree.
Rabbi here checks out with me. I happen to do a lot of housework.
So I know the Deseret News never wants the other side of the story. Okay, they never want to talk to the single people, the agnostics, the atheists, the religious nuns. However, I'd like to offer my services on this podcast because I'm wide open. You know, when I'm not on air here, I'm more than willing to jump on a phone call with anybody from the Deseret News. And they go,
I'm not, for the record.
Yeah, you're not. No, you don't.
A little too much.
Look, you don't need to get on the phone call and be like, I'm Clint Betts. I'm a father of four. And that doesn't surprise me. I do all my chores every day.
He's too busy doing dishes.
It's too weird, right?
I got chores to do. I can't take calls.
I'm more than willing to be the voice of the other side. They never go to the single person and they go, 34-year-old Chris from Spanish Fork. He says, that does surprise me because I see a lot of married people who are pieces of shit just like single people. They never do that. That's not fair reporting.
This is what the rich guy, his name's Rich. I don't know that he's actually rich, but his name's Rich, who directs the Gospel Rescue Mission in Oklahoma. This is what he said. This is a quote from him.
Okay.
As a Christian leader, the first person I serve is God.
Cool
but
line.
In a close,
way cool line.
But in a close second is my family. As a result, I must step up and help around the house. This is done to serve those that are closest to me.
That's wild. That's freaking cool, dude.
Rich is cool.
So everything about that is cool. Now I want to be involved with religion just so I can say, as a Christian leader, and then you can say anything after and nobody will question you. They're like, well, he's a leader of Christians. What are we going to say to him? And then I go, yeah, first and foremost, I'm waiting to God. That's cool. And you guys are sitting there going, well, why don't you do anything for me? Because I'm like your friend or your family and stuff. I'm like, you're number two or three or four.
Yeah.
Like, what you're do you want from me? Oh, do I realize it's important sometimes to come and do the dishes? Yeah, sure, whatever. That's fine. But as a Christian leader, that's not my number one duty.
So this is what Rich does. They spell it out. So Rich starts dinner, routinely does the dishes, cares for the chickens, and cleans up after himself.
What are you talking about? It's like we give him a high five for cleaning up after himself? Is he 4 years old? What the hell is he talking about?
If he sees something that needs doing, he'll tackle it.
I'll talk to the Deseret News right now, and I'll pat myself on the back till next week, where they go, Chris, what? How, do you do all your chores? And I go, I'm a single person, and I clean up after myself. Wow, insane! I get a Presidential Medal of Freedom for this. Apparently,
here's the craziest line of the whole story. And he often asks his wife what she needs done because he doesn't want her to feel overwhelmed when she gets home from work, usually a bit later than he does every day.
So he's the stay-at-home dad. He doesn't have a job.
Keeping the house clean for the sake of family is familiar ground for the rabbi, too. This is a quote from him. While I have resented it at times, I have developed the attitude that I need to focus on what G-D. Wow. They're editing God.
No, that's how you say God in Jewish.
Oh, okay. That I need to focus on what God wants for me at this moment.
No, the Deseret News edited. They're like, we can only say God so many times in one article before it triggers our censorship.
While I have resented it at times, I have developed the attitude that I need to focus on what God wants for me at this moment, regardless of what I'd rather be doing. As a family man,
ugh,
there is a lot of work to be done at home.
Ugh.
If it needs to get done, someone has got to do it. And it will likely take more than one person. So, I've become more action-oriented, more present to the needs of the family without harping on a particular division of labor.
Here's what I love. I love people who have made a series of decisions in life of their own free will and gotten to a destination where they have a lot of responsibilities because of these decisions. And they go, you know who's a badass? Me, because I actually am doing the things that I need to do because I've made all these other decisions. So this idea that this rabbi, he has a family. Mm-hmm. And now he's like, do you know who's a badass? I am. Because I made the decision to have a family. And now that I have a family, do you know what needs to happen? Sometimes you have to do chores. And I'm willing to step to the plate. I'm like, yeah, that's all. Those are based upon all of your decisions.
Welcome to life, my friend.
That's how things work. Yeah. Do you know who's not patting himself on his back because I clean up after myself and don't have to go and clean up after a bunch of people? Me. Because mm-hmm. I don't have a family.
Yeah.
Oh, but the Deseret News, they're not telling that side of the story. They're not going to the single guy and going, oh, you seem like you got a lot of free time on your hands. You could go golf all the time. Mm-hmm. And you're not sitting there bitching about who's making the macaroni and cheese and who scrubs up the dishes. You mm-hmm. just make the macaroni and cheese and you eat it and you throw away everything. It's easy.
It's all paper.
It's all disposable. It's a disposable lifestyle.
So they interviewed Lori DeRose, who's an assistant professor of theology at Catholic University of America. She told the Deseret News this after she wrote a blog with a colleague on the topic. For the Institute for Family Studies. That's a lot of
that
institutes.
That is so
it's a
cool.
lot of titles. It's a lot of different things.
These people are cool.
Here's what Lori says. And why not? It doesn't seem absurd to me that all religious men would be family men. That's a real quote.
Say that again.
And why not? It doesn't seem absurd to me that all religious men would be family men. An assumption that being religious means men don't lift a finger and they just lead the Bible studies and discipline the children just seems a little weird to me.
Wait, do people think that?
I don't know.
I don't understand a lot about religion.
It's basically what I do. I walk in the house. I'm going to lead the Bible studies. I'm going to discipline the kids. I'll see you tomorrow.
Clint disciplining his kids.
They're sitting there. They're like, you don't know anything about the Bible. Get in the front room, everybody. King James. Open to page 122. Goober.
Kids, it's time for Bible study and then discipline. Discipline will immediately follow Bible study.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe this seems like a stereotype from a long time ago. It doesn't seem that. Like, I don't sit here as a religious nun and think that religious families. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, well, the guy just leads Bible study and doesn't lift a finger for chores. I personally don't think that. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm not privy to what's going on in these fine religious households. These households that are way better off than I am.
This is what Lori says. She says, the first is a caricature of religious men as misogynistic, narcissistic, and controlling.
I thought that was just men in general.
Yeah. The second is that many people understand that egalitarianism, do you know what that means? Look that up. I don't know what that means.
Well, let's try to figure it out when she says the sentence.
The second is that many people understand that egalitarianism places high expectations on husbands and fathers without recognizing that faith does likewise.
A belief in human equality, especially with respect to social, political, and economic affairs.
I like that. Mm. Like how smart we are? Figure out the definition of that
Everybody just learned a vocab word for today. Okay, wait. Do they ever talk to the single person?
No.
They never talk to one. Mm-mm. Why? They could even get a low-level one, not even somebody like me, but they go...
They're barely people in my book.
Yeah, they're less than people in the Deseret News' book. The Deseret News, I want to be like maybe employed by them for a week or something. Because it would be freaking cool to go to the Deseret News offices and just walk around and like talk to people, you know, where they go, I'm Clint, and I've worked here for 20 years, and I have a family of 10... And I help with my chores at home.
I do it.
Sometimes I go, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it because somebody needs to. And I'm a family man.
I'm going to bear down and take out that trash.
And then I go to the next person. They say the same thing. Every person I go to and I go, what's going on? Why do you guys always talk about this? Mm-hmm. Like, why do you feel the need to go around in your lives and say, I have a family and I take out the trash sometimes? Like, I don't care if you have a family or you take out the trash. Stop talking to me about it. Don't ever bring those things up to me.
It's fascinating stuff. Here's some of the findings.
Okay.
Catholic and Muslim men were more traditional on most measures, doing less housework than non-religious men. So non-religious men do what they're saying, I think.
So non-religious men do the housework?
Non-religious men do more housework than Catholic and Muslim men, according to
So they're just punning on poor Catholics and Muslims.
Here's what else it says. Jewish men shared 3 of the 4 tasks more equally with their partners. So 3 of the 4. I don't know what that means. men who attend services weekly did more laundry and more hours of housework.
That's an amazing stat.
Men who attend services weekly did more laundry and more hours of housework than those who never attended religious services.
This would blow the Deseret News' mind. Again, if they felt the need to call me up and they go, Chris, how many services do you attend a week? And I go, 0. And they go, so you're obviously not doing any laundry. And I go, no, I do all my laundry every week. That would blow their mind right there. That simple thing. They go, how do you do the laundry? You don't have a family to do it for. I go, somebody needs to do my laundry and it's not going to be someone else, so I just do it. And they go, that's crazy. You must be like, you must feel really good about yourself. And I go, no, I feel like a piece of shit whenever I do my laundry. Why would I feel cool about it? It's just a thing that you do. Stop talking to me about how if I go to a service, then I do 4 more hours of laundry a week. That's like 8 more hours onto your docket.
Listen to this little disclaimer about the studies and the poll and everything. They say everyone wants to be seen in a positive light. But there's no reason to believe men or women are especially prone to exaggerate their efforts around the house.
I want to exaggerate my efforts.
So, like, I know you're thinking this is way freaking weird that we did, like, this huge cover story on this. But there's no reason to believe anyone's exaggerating anything here. This story's way long. Everyone should check
it out. That's an amazing line. Here's what I want so bad. I think relationships are so funny. Not because like, it sounds so cool. You're with somebody all the time and you have sex with them. And then, have like emotional support and this is so cool. No, the cool stuff about a relationship comes straight from the Deseret News. It has nothing to do with sex. It's not all about sex, okay? The cool stuff go home and you're like, I got to try to like fool my spouse into thinking I've done more chores than they think. So then you like do a little bit. You mop a tiny bit of the floor. And you're like, I mopped the whole house. They go, wow, good. Thank you so much. Yeah, this is creepy. You go, yeah, you got to do all the laundry this week. I didn't go to the service, so it's on you. Like, it's this cool play. You know, you're always trying to outsmart the other party. That's what a relationship is, according to Deseret News.
Here's what a relationship is to me.
This is a Dear Clint segment.
When I see a woman, my right arm goes limp. My right arm. It goes numb until they're out of my eyesight. Once they've left my eyesight, it slowly starts to come back. All right. There's old trusty. There's old trusty. Goober, get out there. Let's play some catch.
Looks like looks like I can finally get some of those chores done, but oh no.
That's the news. That's the dead end in the beehive.
That's honestly a good article. I would recommend a lot more of that rather than, you know, just, oh, let's talk about the big protests and the big senator decisions. This is the stuff that matters to me. Again, I'm a selfish podcast host.
Yeah, you are.
Okay. And I'm continually in search of, what does it mean to be in a relationship? What does it mean to be single? How long do I have to spend in hell as a single person? How many chores do I do if I'm married? All that kind of stuff. I know. The Deseret News. The last one I read was like, you don't just come out of hell, dude. You just chill there for all the time. Yeah. And I go, well, how do I get out of here? They go, starts with simple chores. You know, yeah. Foundation build upon laundry. That's how you make a ladder to climb on out of hell.
I hate laundry. Oh, yeah.
It's just because you got injured doing it.
Laundry's so hard. It actually is so hard.
Laundry is so easy.
Physically.
Laundry, you just put it into something and then it's done and then you take it out.
All right. So that's our news for the day.
That's the news
that's
for the
day. That's today in the Beehive.
Okay.
There's your. What do you have? Can I give you some sports?
Can I give you a why though
you got
today?
Some why though?
I got a why though for you.
You got some sports? You got some why though? What do you got?
I got a why though. It's not political, but it will perk your ears because you're a businessman. And business cards are still exchanged in present day. Why, though?
Hell yeah.
Business cards, very fascinating tradition, we'll call it, okay? Even 5 years ago, very normal, you know? Like, I had a big stack of them. Remember you printed out business cards?
Oh, hell yeah.
And I had a big stack, and I go, whew, I'm going to... And I'm going around to people, networking events, big events. I go, nice to meet you, ma'am. Nice to meet you, sir. Chris Rall, managing editor. They go, oh, thank you. Oh, here's this. And I go, oh, great. Okay, Billy Bob, sweet. You know, you're the
Billy Bob Thornton, you're an actor.
actor. Okay, this is your number? Oh, I'd love to, put together a project with you. And it was normal. It was way normal.
Yeah.
Now I've gotten where I don't really go to networking events anymore.
Unfortunate.
And I mean, COVID's swamped us in a lot of ways. That's the one that's hit me the hardest, you know? I crave.
A good networking
event. I crave a good event where I go around and I go, nice to meet you. Business card in the hand.
It's
a tried and true tactic. I go, that's my cell. You can call me anytime. That's my email. Oh, wait. No, that's the old email. This is my new email. Let me just hold on. Let me write that down. And I'd have all those things, you know?
Yeah.
So for obvious reasons, business cards is a tradition, a little bit outdated. You know, we have cell phones. We have LinkedIn. There's a million different ways you can just immediately say, hey, Clint. Oh, what's your name? Nice to meet you. What's your phone number or what's your email? Okay, cool. I can contact you and we can do whatever. Which, that's a whole side story of bizarreness where you just meet somebody out of the blue at a networking event and I go, hey, what's your name? Clint Betts. What's your email? Oh, Clint at thebeehive.com.
Don't give people my email.
Sweet. I'm going to email you. And then that night I go home. People who go to networking events, they go home and they send out individual emails to each one. They go, Chris, loved meeting you today. Super funny guy. Hot fellow. Like, that's the stuff that I get. Like, just a piece
great
of ass.
Great handshake.
I'm just a piece of ass out here to these people. I'm trying to form these meaningful business relationships, and everybody can't see past the eye candy.
Chris, you sure are a hot piece of ass, and I will say you are funny, too.
And how do you respond? How do you formulate an email?
Would you like to do business together?
How do you formulate an email to go back to that? Thank you. Thank you, Clint, for the nice compliment. Actually, I have a lot more to offer than my body. Here's a list of projects I've done in the last little while.
Here's the past two blogs I've written.
Here's some of my past work. Not just a piece of ass here, dude.
I love business cards. You know that.
Yes, I do.
I think they're awesome.
Okay, explain.
Okay, so what I've started doing, this is pre-COVID, but everyone has cool, sometimes you'll have the people who have like these cool business cards. Like some people will make like steel business cards.
Yes, and this is cool.
Like a credit card type thing. Or they have like some cool design that's not like just a rectangle or something. Like some people go all out on these things because they really want to stand out and be noticed. What I've done is I do just plain white, okay, but a nice piece of paper. Like, nice. Like, think Thomas Jefferson type paper.
Like, top shelf at Kinko's.
Yeah, like Thomas Jefferson would quill it up.
The old top shelf paper.
I'd stick with the regular rectangular. And all I do, the only thing that's on the card is my first name, all lowercase, Clint, right in the middle. And you have to squint to see it.
Okay, what does this do to people?
Freaks them out. They're like, that guy is creative. He's hot. He's somebody I want to work with. He's somebody who I think is funny. Somebody I think is attractive. I'm going to get over the limp arms.
Yeah.
because that's a huge issue for me. When I'm at the networking events, they're like, why are your arms limp? I'm all, take my card.
You go, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Reach into my pocket and take my card. I can't do it myself right now.
You're the pervert who gets people to reach into his pocket at networking events. That's so crazy. So it's funny you bring up the very specific and like well-made business cards because I never knew this existed. Then I started going to these things. And it's real. And they're actually super cool. Like, I was given a metal one time.
The metal one.
And I
cool.
felt bad accepting it because I'm like, this card right here probably cost $50. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so expensive. And I'm like, I just throw all these away. I don't know what to do. I can't keep getting these people throwing themselves at me via email, talking about how mm-hmm. I'm a piece of ass. So I'm like, I can't respond to this stuff. Mm-hmm. So I get it from them and I'm like, this is crazy. I mean, this is cool. But like, I'm just going to throw this away. It made me feel bad, though, because I, who was way pumped up about my business cards, mm-hmm. but they're traditional. They got the company logo. Yeah. They got my name in the top middle.
Your title.
They got an email. They got a title. They got a phone number. And so then I'm handing these out in a crowd of people with super cool business cards, and everybody's scoffing at me. They're going, oh. Like, it's like a little kid coming to the big boy party. Mm-hmm. So I'm going, nice to meet you. Somebody gives me a metal business card. I give them a piece of shit business card. Mm-hmm.
Like, we can't afford nice ones.
No, like cheap paper, my name and my email on it, like the logo. Oh, no good. So then I'm kind of embarrassed of it.
I highly recommend people do the cards where it's just their first name, all lowercase, right in the middle and kind of hard to read. That you'll stand out. For
do
sure.
you? So I guess you're like doing less networking these days too because of
don't
COVID.
Remember you.
Do you still have business cards that you hand out?
No. I haven't done that since COVID. That's interesting.
So it's been a big part of your life taken away.
Yeah, it sucks.
There's all
I used to hand out. My goal every day used to be, I got to get 50 of these out.
I know it was. It was so stupid. I had to watch it. It wasn't cool. There's all these rules. I came across these rules online where it's like tips for handing out your business card.
Holy shit.
Because you know how business always has, there's rules for everything. Mm-hmm. And according to like these business experts, if you botch them, it's like, you're done. You're done for all of time.
Oh, yeah.
So it boils down to something as simple as, if you try to give somebody a business card or accept a business card and you botch it, you're dickholed. You'll mm-hmm. never be a professional in your life. Mm-hmm. So there's all these tidbits of like, this is how you do it, you know? And there's all these things written. Like one of them is, okay, when people will make a judgment call is within the first 7 seconds of interacting with somebody. So you have to be, you're supposed to be like, okay, I'm confident and I have a normal posture, not your normal posture. Like you can't do the hunch, like the goober down, the limp arm.
I have no other posture. I don't know what you want from me.
Well, yeah, that's fair. But I'm saying it harms you in the first 7 seconds.
Yeah.
And so the big thing with business cards is you got to give it fast and you can't botch the handoff. So there's all I swear to you, there's all these tips online about how to pass a business card to somebody and accept it in a manner that's like, okay, you didn't fumble it. Oh, you didn't like reach to hand and they were reaching over here. Like the way that people botch handshakes or fist bumps or that kind of stuff. Mm. The business card, that's the most important thing.
When I hand a business card, it's usually pretty wet because my hands are sweating yeah. profusely.
That's my problem.
And like you can see the ink. It's like I can't even read what's on this. It's so wet. I'm going to put that in your pocket.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
And then when that dries out, wait till you see what's on the card. It's like one of those things where you dab the lemon juice on stuff and it's written beneath it in ink. You get it sweaty enough and you go, oh, that you think that's a blank card? Wait till it dries and you'll see what needs to be shown.
I get so nervous at networking events. Don't you? I get nervous.
Well, networking events are intense for a lot of reasons. The main one is people come up and they say, nice to meet you. I'm so-and-so. And how you function at a networking event is you have to immediately tell them about all your accomplishments. Mm-hmm. And you have to dwarf their accomplishments. So you'll start in and you go, I started a nonprofit. And I don't let you finish. And I go, that's sweet. I've written a lot of blogs. And let me show you some of the. And you just try to go over the top of one another. And that's how you assert who's the dominant character in the interaction. And that's every networking event.
I'm always the beta. It sucks. I lost that one. Try again. Hey, how are you? What have you done? They're like, anything. I'm like, shit.
What freaks people out is when I'm at a networking event, they'll start telling me their stuff and I go, oh, that's cool. And then they're like, well, when's he going to say his accomplishments? And me, who doesn't have any, I'm just like, that's sweet. What's your name again? Cool. Yeah, you seem like a nice person.
Don't send me an email about how hot of a piece of ass.
Okay, you
I am.
Can't just accost me via email. I start into my big thing.
I'm going to give you my card, but here's what I don't want to see from you.
The last thing I want to say about the business rules with business cards, there's all this stuff about eye contact. And you have to find the sweet spot. Because too much eye contact, if I'm just staring at you for all of time, you freak out and you look away because it's too creepy. But if it's, you know, just a little bit, it's just a little bit of eye contact, I come off as the beta.
Yeah.
So you have to find that sweet spot. You stare at them long enough, you go, And then you know the exact right moment. You're like, okay, I got to look away. And then I come back. That's the key to the business card exchange. Hey, Clint, I'm Chris. You hand out the business card. We're staring in one another's eyes. There's like a connection made. Then as soon as it's made, you go, okay, we both look away. And that's the perfect business card interaction. That's what you can practice at home.
I'd go limp.
Go stare. Yeah.
So if I ever made eye contact with another human, half my body would go limp.
Yeah, you are not built for
I'm not a networker.
The networking world.
I'm not a networker.
You need to have more of a physical confidence, which, again, it's not your fault.
Thank you.
Just don't have that.
I don't have much.
You're a slug.
Yeah.
Your human being is a slug.
It's sad. All right, we're taking the no politics to heart.
Yes.
Unless someone sends us a voicemail and says they want more politics. We'll basically do whatever the last voicemail says.
My call to the Actually, that's a very good point. Anybody who wants to direct this show in any way they see fit, leave us a voicemail. We'll do anything anybody says.
It's 385-344-8011. Leave us a voicemail. Signing off for Chris Rawl and Weston Tanner. My name is Clint Betts, and this has been another episode of The Beehive. Help. Please tell your family and friends about the Beehive. Tell them to subscribe to the show using their favorite podcast app. Then ask them to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And then tell them they owe you big time for changing their lives forever. What would be so cool is if you shared why you love the Beehive on social media and then gave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. This is a lot of homework, I know. So let me make it worth your while. If you do all of that, send a screenshot to Chris at chris@thebeehive.com and we'll send you some sweet, sweet swag. We go live every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. You can watch the show on all of our social media channels. Thank you for your support and for being a part of The Beehive.